Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for being part of my day. You just tuned in. Welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. Trish Rubin is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, and Trish has been with us before. Trish is a speaker, a trainer, a writer. She's a networking expert. She's an organizational expert. She's the author of New York Minute, 60-Second Tips to Megawatt Business Power, and she's back. Trish, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me back.
It's good to have you back, as always. What's going on today? What you got on your mind?
Well, I've got a couple things on my mind. In between my visits to Asia,
When did you go to Asia?
Went to Asia the second time in June, and had a wonderful, wonderful trip there.
Where were you there?
I was in Tokyo exclusively. I've focused my work in Tokyo because there's plenty of it there.
Right. What were you teaching the Japanese?
At this point, well, this was a marketing tour for me, mm-hmm. and a book tour, and I actually looked to get connected to a Japanese publisher, and I did get one.
Is there a Tokyo Minute?
Yes. Yes, you're so smart. In Tokyo, it will probably be called the Nippon Ban, the Tokyo edition.
Right.
And they're actually going to translate the book for me, of course, which I mm-hmm. can't do on my own.
Oh, no. And come on. I thought you could do that. You're a smart girl.
Yeah, my aim Japanese is really restaurant Japanese, but it works.
I know sushi and Mitsubishi and chopsticks.
I always say hajimemashite to you. It means very good to meet you again.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I know a few good phrases, but so I've got a publisher, and interesting thing about it is and a book agent, and the book is being customized, and the publisher is the second largest publisher in Japan,
yeah.
and they are featuring most of the manga that comes out of Japan, the manga
right.
Genre, and so the book is actually going to have a manga format.
What does that mean?
It means that there will be a cartoon that's created around the...
A cartoon?
Yeah, around the theme and with a particular character. And so I'm really looking forward to that. So I'm going back in... just maybe let's go back in November, and I will be doing seminars
and this,
there.
But it's going to be a cartoon, but it's in a book, right?
It will be primarily it's a book form, but they will probably put some overlays of cartoons and illustrations that'll make it look different from the book I have now.
What's the difference doing business in Japan and doing business in the United States?
I think in the initial stages, it's really being aware of the cultural difference. It's being aware of how to really put yourself in front of people who are primarily, I won't say, they're skeptical, of course, because they want to know why you're there, and they're very interested in who you are, but of course, you're not Japanese. And
right.
That's an important piece, is to really prove yourself as a credible person who's there to better the Japanese culture and not take advantage. So you have to be very genuine, and not that you don't have to do that here. And I've gotten a very big contract down in Wall Street with the national law firm, and I had to really prove credibility there, but
mm-hmm.
in a different way.
Well, now what about? It's been my experience, at least the people that I know who do business in Japan, the women. Women don't always have a great opportunity doing business
yes.
in Japan. It's a very patriarchal society.
Yes, and you again see, you prove how wonderful you are every time you talk to me. The seminars that I'm doing in November are seminars for women, so they are exclusively how to network, and they're basically for women. So in that kind of a society, and also as they go out globally to do business outside of Japan, how to be their best at networking. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's
are women making are women business owners and women business managers, are they breaking through the ceiling
yes.
over there in Japan?
Yes, but I think it's a very, as it was here and still continues to be, it's very tough, and it's a cultural piece as well.
Yeah.
But I see a lot of, I think I'm going to be seeing a lot of young women, and I'm working with some business women's groups that I'm also part of internationally, and kind of trying to tie all those things together. But you're so right, it will be difficult, but it will be a challenge, and I know I can meet it, and
mm-hmm.
I think the good part for me is traveling that long distance and seeing great effects.
Right. Stand by. Trace Rubin is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Her book is New York Minute. She and I will be right back after these messages. It's 20 till. Here's Steely Dan to take us out. Back, it's 17 till. Bobby Darin, as I remember. I think that's Bobby Darin, isn't it? Anyway, we're back. I'm Jim Blassingame. The small business advocate, Trish Rubin, is our guest. She's the author of New York Minute, and she's here to talk to us about how to put our best foot forward in the marketplace. Quick question to tag on to the comment that we were talking, the conversation we were having about women breaking through in Japan. Are women completely breaking through the glass ceiling in the United States?
I don't know. I would say no. And when I do seminars and when I go, I do business consulting, and it's very interesting for me because I'm in a mixed group generally. It's not just women. I see a mixed group, and it doesn't matter if it's bankers or it's real estate people or lawyers. You can have some very powerful women in the room, but you can always see just the nonverbal and verbal communication that goes along when women are trying to validate themselves, let's say.
Who's doing this communication? The women among themselves or the men among themselves?
I think when it's a women trying to advance themselves in a point, there's I think it's harder for them to be taken more seriously still. And
why do you think that is?
I just feel that it's it's all about competition anyway, and as collegial as organizations can be, people are being measured. There's always, Measurement Central looking at the people in that organization.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to competing, I just think that there are still men out there, and it's not a blanket statement. There's still men that just believe that women don't either belong or can't do the job as well. So, but I think it's part of the business game. And women are through organizations and through their own resources, are building themselves up and making a difference.
Well, they're like you, they're starting their own businesses.
And
so they don't have to put up with it. They're making their own ceilings.
They're
creating a business with a sunroof so it doesn't have a ceiling.
I love it, and that's really who I see when I go out and do association work. I see a lot of women who are like me, who created their own direction, and it does come from that, I believe, and it's very exciting to see.
There are two challenges that women have that I think make a difference. Number one, women address issues. They solve problems. They deal with whatever it is that's in front of them. Men and women do those things differently.
Yeah,
and since there was no original good old girls club, there was only the original one was the good old boys club. So that is the structure that has to be, I don't want to use the word defeated, but it has to be dealt with. So that is the way men solve problems, the way men deal with things is the standard, so to speak. And women have a problem with that. And then the other thing, and I'll let you comment on this, is women do it to themselves by not having the kind of confidence in themselves that they really ought to have.
And, you know, I'm going to mention two books to your listeners that I think are very important. And would, one of them, I think, men would be interested in reading. Of course, the people who have read about leadership know the book The Art of War. And there is a book now, don't have the author's name, but it's called Women and the Art of War. So it's really, if you're a small businesswoman and you want to learn how to play, like you say, the big boys, the good old boys game, that's a good one. And men should look at that, too, to see how women they deal with might be thinking. And then there's another wonderful book called See Jane Lead that I've been using in my training. And for just those things, and I really thank you for saying that, it's just that women think differently than men. We're wired differently to think in those ways. Complementary. And that's why in some organizations, they're great teams of people who work together, women and men, because of the differences they bring to the table and they're able to shape the future. I told you during the break that I'm working on a new book, and the book is on follow-up. And the reason why I'm doing the book on follow-up, even though I had two other manuscripts to work on, I've started a new one, is because women especially were saying to me, okay, we've got clients through networking. How do we have the confidence? How do we keep those clients? Because perhaps they're small business women and they're afraid that they're going to go in another direction with a bigger company. And so I think even in terms of following up on the client and going from developing a presence, first you've got a presence with somebody, to influencing the client. Sometimes women, I think, may not have the confidence to know that they have tremendous influence and can keep their customers.
Do women who serve men in business, women who have men customers, do they have to think like their customer? When they're, if for example, if you came to me as a consultant, you were trying to solve, you were trying to help me deal with some of my challenges in my business, do you have to think like the, do you have to solve my problems the way I think about solving those problems, or can you get away with doing it your way?
I think you can
as
do
a woman.
I think it's a combination of both. I think what women have going for them is they listen. Classically, and studies prove this, that they listen with more intention, and that they're not as not afraid, they're not as hesitant or to ask questions.
Right.
And we know that, we all joke about women, you know, in the directions, and the husband and the wife in the car, and the man won't ask for directions.
Well, but we don't need, really, because we're not lost.
Right. They're not lost. So if your customer, you know, doesn't want to even admit that they're lost, how do you help that person along? So
right.
I think it is that idea of listening and asking the right questions.
Yeah. But at some point in time, though, somebody's got to pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you've got to, that's where the rubber meets the road. Hold on to that thought, Trish. We've got to take a quick break. Trish Rubin is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Her book is called New York Minute. Ten Tales. Stay with us.
Only you can to make all this world seem right.
We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is the flagship where you can find the newsletter and the blog and the archives of thousands of archives of past shows, including the ones we've done with our guest this half hour, Trish Rubin. And also you can find the show, the simulcast, the replay, lots of good stuff. Then you can podcast those, by the way. And, of course, askjim.biz is our knowledge base. That's where you can go to get small business answers now. Trish, give us your website and tell us where your book's available.
My website is TR, for Trish Rubin, TR New York Minute. And the book is available in right now Barnes & Noble, Amazon Online, and just with me, too.
All right.
Go to my website.
Trish, how is networking different for women than it is for men?
I think it's, as we were talking sort of before to follow through, I believe that women are definitely more natural at it. And when I do seminars and do the kinds of role-playing in a room of hundreds of people. The women are the ones who get up and are very interested in getting up and doing that. So I think they're natural, but I think what they have to do is to really, as we were speaking before, let the person they're talking to know that it's about them. And sometimes as women, we tend to perhaps verbalize too much. And we have to be very...
Wait. Now, let me see. Is that sort of like... Women talk too much? Now, is that the same thing, Trish?
We could talk too much.
See,
actually,
I'm glad you said that first. Otherwise, I'd be in big trouble.
You would be. But that's the beauty of being a woman, too, is that we've got a lot to say. But when you're in the networking situation, you've got 9 seconds to basically make a first impression. So it really requires that you know what to say quickly to get somebody talking, and then you listen.
Shut up. Right? That's the hard part, isn't it?
And you listen, right. And for men, it's the reverse.
Do women have to switch gears? I mean, men only have one gear. We have a gear, and it's our gear, and we use the same gear for men or for women or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Do women have to have two gears?
Yes.
Have a girl gear and a guy gear?
Yes. When I do my my promos, I'm a football fan, and that serves me well. You know,
that's a good thing for you. That's a good thing for a girl.
Yeah, and I kind of put a football cap on. And go, okay, now you have to get your game face on. And so for me, yes, and I also learned to play golf poorly, but I do
really
try.
Well, see, that makes you a dirt road sport.
Yeah, you know.
See, that's what guys like, dirt road sports. And let me tell you what else. Guy customers like that. If you can go to a ball game with a customer, if you can go play golf with a customer,
right,
that's not a bad thing.
And if you know the stats and if you've got a fantasy football team.
What you're saying is do your homework.
That's in my book. The first thing you do is create meaning around what you're going to do. So you can't fake that stuff. And when you fake it, it's not genuine. And then when you found out, it's not good. So you really do have to really sincerely want to make connection with people. But to be knowledgeable in a lot of ways, because you might be talking to someone who's an opera fan. So my suggestion is that you get on websites almost every day and just, cruise different websites and pick up some good information so you're ready with just a little tidbit to help people when in a room you're meeting a baseball fanatic, an opera buff,
but the follow-up, is the key,
yes,
though, because that's where the critical mass is, isn't it?
That's so right. And that's why I'm doing the second book. And the second book was women saying that to me, and that's why I'm going in that direction.
Do you think women have more of a problem following up than men?
Well, it's interesting. I don't know if that's really true, but I know that women kept saying to me, we're good at networking, but how do we keep the customer? And I think maybe it is that sense of what we were talking about.
Can I throw a little anecdote out there?
Sure.
When I was training salespeople years and years ago, the women that I trained, that I knew in sales, were the best at doing all the things right and doing the networking, doing the prospecting, doing the paperwork and everything. When women failed, it was because they couldn't close.
It wasn't because
they weren't smart enough. It was because when it came down to pulling the trigger, and I'm not saying they all did. I'm just saying when they did fail, it was because they couldn't close. They couldn't make the last push.
Right, right. And so you have to, when we spoke a little earlier, you know, so like what is it that you have to have? You may have to come off with a little more aggressive edge.
A little edgy and pull that off. Hey, Trish, thanks for being here. Will you come back another day?
I would love to, John.
The book
thanks
is called New York
me.
Minute by Trish Rubin, and it's available wherever books are sold, right?
That's right.
Thanks, Trish. See you next time.
Thanks, Jim. Bye.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.